From iHeart Podcasts, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade. Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
Listen to the podcast Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get started.
Let's get it started.
All right, I do have one that we're going to start with in this, but this is really just, I'm amazed by how great Ronald Acuña Jr. is. And I think a lot of people who are Braves fans are also in awe of Ronald Acuña Jr. He had two home runs last night. By the way, Austin Riley did not hit any, so we lost that wager and place your bets. Braves beat the Phillies 9-3. Atlanta's magic number to clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs is 9 over the Dodgers to clinch the NL home field advantage, 10 over the Orioles, who also won last night, to clinch home field advantage in the World Series. All right, back to Ronald Acuña Jr. I mean, he's a unicorn. He is one home run and three stolen bases shy of being the first 40-70 player in Major League Baseball history. 40 home runs and 70 stolen bases. And every time I mention this, and we're going to talk to Elliot Johnson later, and every time I mention bewilderment that anybody could be a 40-70 guy. Or it was a few weeks ago when he was like a 40-60 guy. Actually, a 30-60 guy. We've had none of those. I get the, well, you know, it's so much easier to steal bases today. All right, first of all, I'm not arguing that it is easier to steal bases today. Don't talk to me about base size. I don't think that really matters. But the fact that you can only throw over, I mean, you can throw over once. I think that's it. You're allowed one throw over. You can't even throw over twice. So once that first throw over comes, I don't have to respect it. But I don't care because it ain't like everybody else is stealing 70 bases. He leads the major leagues in stolen bases. He, Ronald Acuña Jr., leads the major leagues in stolen bases. He's got 67 of them.
Yeah.
And he hits too many home runs to have 67 stolen bases. Because 39 of his hits, he just went right to the dugout. He's an incredible player. He is the MVP. The only thing that would get in the way is if some people voted for Matt Olson, his teammate, who's got goofy numbers too. It's incredible. By the way, we've only had four in history of Major League Baseball, four players who have hit in the same season 40 home runs and stolen 40 bases. Just four. They are Jose Canseco, Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, and Alfonso Soriano. Those are the only four who have done 40-40, and this guy is going to do 40-70.
Wow.
By the way, Braves as a team are setting all sorts of records for first inning runs. They are the first team ever with four players who have hit 35 or more home runs this year. They have seven players in their lineup who have hit at least 20. And the other two, Orlando Arcia and Michael Harris, have 17 and 18 respectively. They could end up with the entire lineup having hit 20 or more home runs. So today we're on, this show is now on WFNZ in Charlotte. And I was on with Mac and Bone in the morning today. And they had just had a discussion about being worried about the Braves in the postseason because there is assuming the Braves end up with the best record in the National League, they'll get a bye. So you won't have to be a part of that best of three first round series. The Dodgers, who also are awesome, will have to be a part of that. And I get that. I think that's real. I think sitting around in baseball because those games, the Braves aren't going to start Thursday, right? It's going to be later in the week. So waiting while everybody else plays, to me, is a disadvantage. Not, it's okay, you need the rest. I mean, sure, but you don't get rest during the season anyway. You get the All-Star break. I just think that when you stop, when you get out of the rhythm of a season, you run the risk of being out of rhythm. And all sports is about repetition and rhythm. And I hope that a bye week doesn't get in the Braves' way of being the same rear-end kicking unit that we have watched for 6 months. So here's my theory, Victoria. This is change number one.
Okay.
Major League Baseball. Expand the playoffs. Get another team in each league. So the Braves, hey, you run the risk of losing to anybody.
Yeah.
But if you can't beat the 8th seed in the playoffs,
probably shouldn't be there anyway.
You probably wouldn't have won the next round anyway.
No.
So that is my solution. The Braves, whoever the next best team is, and there's in the National League, there's a lot of teams fighting for it. Could be right now Arizona and Chicago are the two playoff to second and third wild card teams. Cincinnati. No, I'm sorry. Miami would be the next team right now. So you think you could beat the Marlins in a 3-game series?
Right.
I don't know. Maybe we give the 1 seed all the games at home. You don't have to be on the road at all. You actually know that that's the way it is. The first round, you just get home field advantage. Maybe you only have to win 1 game of the 2 games. Yep. We try to skew it in your favor.
Yeah.
But that's the way I think it should be, so everybody stays playing. All right, we got tons of stuff coming up on the program today. We also have an amazing college football weekend. We have 6 matchups of ranked teams on this schedule. We have Ohio State and Notre Dame playing each other. That's a top 10 matchup. You've got the battle for, they're calling it the Pac-2 Bowl. The two remaining schools in the Pac-2,
Oregon State, Pac-2.
Oregon State and Washington State are both ranked and playing in, where are they? In at the Palouse at Washington State. So that's awesome, right? You've got Ole Miss and Alabama. UCLA and Utah is a top 25 matchup. Iowa and Penn State. It's amazing. Iowa fools everybody. Iowa's 24th. Penn State is 7th. It doesn't include, by the way, Florida State's trip to Clemson, because in the AP poll, Clemson is not ranked, but it is a ranked matchup in the coaches' poll. Florida State is 3rd. Clemson is 23rd. But you know what it does have? It has Colorado playing at Oregon. And this is now the third, this is week 4 of the college football season. And they set a record. Colorado State was the most watched late window game in ESPN history. Almost 10 million people watched that game.
I was one of them.
Oh yeah, I was too. They set a record for Big Noon Kickoff the week before with Colorado and Nebraska.
Yeah.
They set a record the week. I mean, Deion Sanders, it is five most watched games in college football have involved a team that won 1 game.
Incredible.
Last year.
Wow.
This is the Deion Sanders Experience. Paul Feinbaum from ESPN.
Greeny, I've covered college football for more than 40 years, and this is the biggest phenomenon I have ever seen. And there's nothing even close. I mean, we've had flashes of great players along the way, but this has completely captured the sport for the first 3 weeks. It is capturing it this weekend. And Greeny, regardless of what happens in Oregon on Saturday afternoon, it will be right back in Boulder next week when Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley and USC show up. So that is 5 consecutive weeks. Owning the sport, sucking all the oxygen out. I mean, Nick Saban is struggling to be and playing second fiddle. That's how big this is.
Hey, Carolina Panthers fans, Chris Lee and Dennis Cox here.
We're excited to offer you all the inside information on your team with the newest member of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, Panthers Playbook.
Twice a week, we'll keep you updated on your Carolina Panthers. We're talking about locker room insight, exclusive interviews, and of course, in-depth looks at all of the Panthers' wins.
Touchdown, Carolina!
Panthers Playbook. Download and subscribe today at WRLSportsFan.com or wherever you discover your favorite podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Nick Saban's not even second fiddle. This season, look, I understand when Alabama loses, that's a story. Right? We've gone through this with Clemson already. We're now kind of over the, Clemson isn't Clemson anymore. Guess what? It's going to sound like almost heresy. But other than that five-year run, whatever that was, six-year run of Clemson otherworldly dominance where they win two national championships and they played Alabama like 4 years in a row or something like that in the playoffs. Other than that, this is Clemson. I mean, where were you? Were you alive before 2014?
Right.
I mean, if you were alive before then, we used to talk about Clemsoning, right? This is the, how did you lose that game? They gave up 70 points in an Orange Bowl to West Virginia 1 year. I mean,
not a new concept.
It's almost as though our brains are incapable of storing information that goes beyond what just happened. It's like we're all dogs. So, this is Clemson. Now, we're used to, over the in recent history, we're used to seeing a different Clemson. Right? By the way, something that will be Dabo Sweeney forever is scapegoating special teams players. Right? For those people, maybe you were there or maybe you watched the game. Do you remember when Clemson and Carolina played, this is during the Larry Fedora era, in the ACC championship game, and the punter... I think he faked a punt and Dabo Sweeney didn't want him to fake a punt, even though my understanding is that if a defense gives you a certain look, you're supposed to fake the punt. But it didn't work, so Dabo just lit into the punter on the sideline. He, for some reason, he loves yelling at kickers.
Right.
So going into this season, he was all over the Robert Gunn hype train. His freshman kicker, who he insisted could kick field goals from, like, across the street. I don't even know how many yards it is, but he can make a field goal from a neighboring county. Well, he had two field goals blocked against Duke. He has missed an extra point. He missed the extra point in their game against, I think it was Charleston Southern. They scored their first touchdown. He missed that extra point. And then he missed a short field goal in the win over... Florida Atlantic. Dabo has seen enough. He has gone to the waiver wire. I wish I was making this up. And he has he has brought in Jonathan Whites?
Oh,
I don't even know.
Yeah.
He was a walk-on kicker who was a backup to BT Potter over the last several years. So he still has eligibility, and he's still enrolled in school. But he wasn't on the team. Dabo called him. He was about to take a job in New York. He actually has already put a down payment on, or a deposit. It's a deposit, not a down payment. A deposit on a rental apartment in New York City. He's about to start a job. And Dabo was like, we need a kicker.
You want to come here?
Right? We need a kicker. So this is all true. And here's my favorite part of this story. Is that I haven't lost any confidence in Robert Gunn at all.
Oh, stop. Oh, like, stop.
Of course you have. You just brought a kicker in who hasn't kicked in a game, like, ever. And he hasn't kicked in a practice until this week. since last football season.
You don't go kicker shopping if you're not looking for a kicker.
Like, it is what it is, Dabo. I get it.
Yeah.
But I think the reason why people sometimes are intolerant of his act is because after, like, digging through the trash to eat a week-old piece of pizza.
Yeah.
I'm not desperate.
No. Like,
no, dude, you have lost confidence in Robert Gunn. That doesn't mean that you won't gain confidence in him down the road. But you have clearly lost it now. So stop with your denial. We all can figure this out.
Nope.
It's a great story. I'm sorry. It is a great, great story. All right. Now I have theory number two today. Idea number one was expanding the baseball playoffs so nobody sits around,
yeah,
you know, growing moss. Here's number two. So in this quick context, we saw the Nick Chubb injury on Monday night. I don't even know what day that was now. I'm like at a loss.
A Monday night that felt like a Thursday night.
Definitely felt like a Thursday. So we saw the Nick Chubb injury. J.K. Dobbins for the Ravens, beginning of the year, tore his Achilles. Saquon Barkley had an ankle injury. So we've got running back. I'm probably forgetting. But we had Jonathan Taylor holding out. We had Saquon Barkley holding out. We had Josh Jacobs with the Raiders holding out. This has been a difficult... Oh, Austin Eckler of the Chargers is hurt. We don't know when he's coming back. We didn't even see him get hurt. He just showed up hurt.
Right, yeah.
So this has been after the offseason of running backs complaining about running backs not getting paid. And honestly, I see both sides because I have argued in the past when the Panthers were about to pay Christian McCaffrey, I think McCaffrey is a different animal because McCaffrey doesn't have to be a handed to him 25 times a game type of a player.
Yeah, not at all.
You just have to get him the ball somehow 20 to 25 times a game. That's all you need.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd throw it to him 15 times a game.
I mean, he can even throw it.
He can.
He can do all the things.
He absolutely can. So, to me, McCaffrey is a different part of this equation. But I understand why owners don't want to pay running backs because you have no idea when the drop-off is coming and when the injury will lead to the drop-off. And this Nick Chubb injury, as great as he is, this Nick Chubb injury, I mean, I think it's a fair, guess that it's a career-altering, possibly ending injury.
Certainly look like it.
He had this injury. I don't think the play was the same, but it might have been back in 2015 at Georgia. But now he is 8 years older, and it's the second one, same leg, by the way. Like, who knows what he looks like coming back? And you don't have to lose more than half a step.
Yeah.
And now it's a completely different game for you as the player and your career. Completely different. So I understand why owners don't want to pay running backs. But here's my theory. And we're going to test this theory. We're going to ask our friend Brooke Pryor about this from ESPN when we come back. The running back is not allowed to be drafted. If you are a running back, you can't get drafted in the NFL. You are an undrafted free agent. You are free to sign with any team for whatever you can negotiate.
I like it.
That's how we protect the running back salary because it used to be a glamour position. Used to be. But now teams don't want to pay that guy.
And offenses are changing.
Yep, but they're not changing to the point where they're not using the running back. They're just changing to the point where they're using multiple running backs, or they don't care who the running back is.
No.
They'll use you for the first part of your contract, and then they will get rid of you. They will let somebody else pay you. Dalvin Cook should be on a roster. Well, he is on a roster. He's on the Jets roster, which I admit is sort of like not being on a roster.
From iHeart Podcasts, Supreme, The Battle for Roe, tells the story of the unlikely champions behind the landmark case Roe v. Wade. Starring Maya Hawke as 26-year-old lead attorney Sarah Weddington.
We're challenging the Texas abortion laws in federal court.
And Academy Award nominee William H. Macy as Supreme Court Justice Harry Blackmun.
Time is not the most important factor. Getting it right is.
Listen to the podcast Supreme, The Battle for Roe on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.